looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sox fans in attendance. Making noise here in the ninth. Got him! 96 miles an hour to end it. And the Red Sox pull it out 4-1, the final score. So regardless of what happens tomorrow, the Red Sox have won the series. They are now 34-15 at TC, rolling on.
Are the Red Sox stupid? Are they a stupid team? Like that? So that's my question tonight. That's where I want to begin. And I know we just played for you the audio of the final out. They won another game last night. And yet I can't help but start to wonder whether the Red Sox are dumb. Whether they're dumb. So all the discussion and conversation we've had about the Red Sox over the last couple of years, why can't they win in October? Like, are they gutless? Do they lack character? Like I say all the time, are Betts, Bogarts, Bradley, you know, even Benintendi. Have you ever seen any one of them mad? Like, I pick at all these qualities on the Red Sox, and I look at them and I say, why is it that they can't really reach their ceiling? What quality is it in the Red Sox that makes that prevents them from really being as good as they can be? Because they have talent, right? They have talent, and they won another game last night. David Price pitched well. We'll get to him. There is news on Dustin Pedroia. We'll get to that. There is also an interesting release by Major League Baseball today concerning a study done trying to explain the increase in home runs in baseball over the last basically four seasons. Baseball commissioned this study, and I thought there was an interesting admission in it. We'll get to that. But I want to start with the you know, you hear the term in basketball all the time, basketball IQ. I want to talk about the baseball IQ of the Red Sox. So there was a play in this game last night, in the event you missed it, that involved more base running problems and featured Eduardo Nunez as the guy that made the out. But really, he was not the one who was worthy of blame on this play. Okay, Billy, go ahead and play it.
Socked on a line, and that one headed for the alley. On this turf, it'll go all the way to the wall. Nunez into third. He's trying to score. The cutoff throw home, and he is out at the plate. Out at home. Nunez never slid, and the tag made by Sucre got him.
Well, Nunez is going to look towards Vasquez, and Vasquez, he's going to say, you were telling me to stay up. Vasquez should be in a different position telling him what to do, slide or stand up. He did nothing. You don't put it all on him, but he's supposed to be on that first base side telling Nunez whether to slide or stand up. Now, you can see Vasquez not doing anything there. He's not telling him a thing. Now, watch Nunez look over towards Vasquez, and he's got to put his hands up. You're telling me to stay up.
Well, you really do have to rely on that man, don't you?
You really do. That's part of your job as an on-deck hitter. And so, you know, you got to get in position to tell that runner whether he's got to slide or stand up. And, of course, the call there would have been a slide.
So now, if you missed this, I'll give you the background on it. And let me also tell you, as usual, 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And then we'll turn it over to Adam Jones. And we'll have you for the balance of the evening. But with regard to this play in particular, it was a scoreless game last night. And if you like me, or if you are like me, you probably spent a good chunk of your time on the Celtics last night. I don't blame you. But I was bouncing back and forth between the basketball game and the baseball game. And I heard the beginning of the game in the car on the way home. David Price was striking out guys in the early innings. Chris Archer looked like he was on his game. And so you add it all up, and what you had was a pitcher's duel. So that's the kind of game it was. It was a pitcher's duel. So you get into the fifth inning. It's 0-0. Two outs. and Eduardo Nunez is on first base. Jackie Bradley hits the line drive into the gap. Nunez tries to score, and Christian Vasquez, who is the next scheduled hitter, is standing just off to the side of the plate beyond the right-handed batter's box, doing nothing while Eduardo Nunez comes home and gets tagged out without a slide. And Nunez then looks at Vasquez, as you heard Jerry Remy say, and said, why did you tell me to hold up? What's the issue? How do you explain a play like that, Murray? Look, when you see a guy standing next to the plate and his jaw, and we've seen it a million times, the guy on deck is supposed to give the base runner some instruction as to whether or not it's going to be a close play or whether he can stand up and score easily. Effectively, Christian Vasquez is supposed to be the base coach. Carlos Fabelis waved in Eduardo Nunez on that play. He waved him home. So on that particular play, Christian Vasquez is supposed to be at the plate giving instruction to Eduardo Nunez on what to do with the plate. That's what he's supposed to do. He did nothing. Zero. How do you explain that?
I don't know. You can't. I wish I could give you a good explanation for it, because it did look like Nunez would have been safe if he slid.
So it's
as simple as low baseball IQ, for lack of a better term, or he just didn't have a grasp of the situation.
So, like, you hear Remy say there, well, you know, young player. Okay, fine, young player. Christian Vasquez has been in the big leagues now for 3 years.
No, it's mostly inexcusable. I mean, that's part of the gig when you're on deck circle. Like you said, you're essentially acting the role of a base coach.
I mean, that's something you know in, like, Little League, for crying out loud, that you're supposed to be there and give instruction to the guy coming home because he can't see the ball coming in from the outfield. He doesn't have eyes on the back of his head. So I look at that play and I went, ooh. And then someone asked today, why do the Red Sox keep making outs on the bases? You know, I thought Cora was going to emphasize this. And so then I started to think about it. I said, Benintendi. Benintendi's a horrendous base runner. And you know what? I've come to the conclusion that as a base runner, Benintendi's just stupid. What else could it be? Like, when you really look at it and you say, how do you explain if we're going to blame the old manager for bad base running, and then the new manager comes in and he says, we're going to clean up the base running. And we had Alex Cora on this very program earlier in the year. And Alex Cora said, right now, 1 to 10, at the beginning of the year, I gave our base running a 1. Maybe we're up to about a 5, but we've got a long way to go. So Cora knows. It's not like he doesn't know or doesn't understand that the base running is bad. So he's clearly tried to make it a point of emphasis, and yet many of the players keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Which brings me to baseball IQ and, frankly, stupidity. That play last night, that was stupid. Benintendi's mistakes on the bases this year, stupid. Benintendi makes a lot of stupid mistakes on the bases. Now, I'm not saying every guy in this team is a dumb player, because Mookie Betts, exceptional base runner. Really, exceptional. Like, he is a great base runner. But I look at some of the mistakes the Red Sox make, and maybe this sort of relates to the approach at the plate over the last couple of years, too, and maybe now it took someone to finally drill it into them for them to get it. But it feels to me like sometimes they play dumb baseball. So I wanted to get that off my chest, because that base running play last night, boy, did Christian Vasquez piss me off with that. Wow, is that bad. That is bad baseball. That is just bad, bad, basic, bad baseball all the way around. Couple of quick announcements. Dustin Pedroia, the Red Sox have announced. Murray did it. Apparently Alex Cora said this before the game. Dustin Pedroia will be activated before tomorrow night's game against the Atlanta Braves at Fenway Park.
Right.
So Pedroia returns. That's good news. Obviously, it'll improve the infield defense. And I know a lot of you are down on Pedroia, given all the events of last season. You have a right to be, to a degree. He's not going to undermine the team. Pedroia is a guy who wants to show up and play baseball. If you ask him to lead and run the clubhouse, he's not going to do it, and in which case there is a flaw there. But he's not a negative on a team. There's a big difference. So Pedroia comes back, which in and of itself will be interesting, to see where he hits, where he plays, or rather, he's obviously going to play second base, where he hits in the lineup, and also with Nunez going to the bench, who gets squeezed out? And the Red Sox need a roster spot. So there could very well be a deal coming here involving Blake Swihart in the next 24 hours. Or the Red Sox will designate him for assignment. It is something to keep an eye on. David Price's performance last night overall seemed pretty good. But we will get into the particulars of Price's effort because, again, to me, at a key moment last night, he made a huge mistake. Huge. And it's sort of an ongoing theme with Price that whenever there's a big moment, he seems to crumble under the weight of it. And an interesting release today by Major League Baseball, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, I want to talk about David Price. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Excellent. Location, both sides of the plate, the changeup, mixing up pitches. He did an outstanding job.
Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, talking about David Price, who, again, you know, you could say he had another good outing. He's pitched well here the last couple of times out. Red Sox win the game, so certainly good for Price. Ended up with a no decision. And we'll get to Price here in just a second, but I do want to get to your phone calls as well. Peter is in New York. Peter, what do you got?
The stupidity of the team, I feel like it's not coming out really to show against these weaker teams. But as we get deeper in the year, some of these little mistakes are going to cost us when it comes to the likes of playing Houston or New York. And I even think some of that's on Cora when it comes to some decisions he's making. I just feel like there's been a few times where he hasn't put in a pinch runner when Vasquez or Leon's on the bag and it's late in the game. I don't know. They feel stupid to me. And love the show. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so look, in the case of the manager, what I will tell you about Cora is that Cora's not stupid. I know Cora. Cora's not dumb. Cora's a smart guy. And he's a good baseball guy. And whether or not he's the right manager for this point in time, I don't know. We'll find out. And to me, that's what managing is all about. It's about being the right guy for the right team at the right point in time. To me, that's entirely what a manager is about. With Cora, to me, some of the decisions are just an experience. Like, now, if he's still making the same mistakes later on down the line, then I would say, why isn't he getting it? Like, that to me is how you sort of define it. But I look at the Red Sox. A year ago, we criticized their base running and the mistakes they made over and over and over again. John Farrell chalked them up to aggressiveness, no problem. I felt like he ignored it. He ignored the issue. Cora came in this year, said, no, we're going to improve on the base running. They started the year running poorly. Then it got a little bit better. He came on this program and he said, at the beginning of the year, on a scale of 1 to 10, our base running was a 1. Now, maybe a 5, but we've still got work to do. So it feels to me like Cora is pointing it out, but they still make the mistakes. So that leads me to the players. Are they just dumb? I mean, is it just, when I say dumb baseball players. I'm not talking about human beings. I'm talking about dumb, do they play dumb baseball? Is Andrew Benintendi, when it comes to base running, just a moron?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, or at least question. It feels that way, and even defensively time, and sometimes in the outfield with him. Yeah, you got a few guys on this team that might be fundamentally stupid when it comes to baseball.
I mean, so that's what I wonder. Is it when it comes to the base running part of the game, does Benintendi just not get it?
And maybe more people aren't as up in arms about it as you, or because, you know, the thing is, with a mistake like last night's, Maz, a couple of years ago, or hell, even last year, that's a game they end up losing. This team does seem to have a resilient streak in them, you know, like that they were still able to overcome this kind of stupidity that you see maybe a little too much, well, especially too much when it comes to the base running, and they're still able to pull off a win, so it's not bothering people as much. But it is something to keep an eye on, because it's eventually going to catch up with them, it feels like.
So it could be any number of factors, Murray, but you know, I have a theory on that myself, which I'll get to in a second. Sarah's in Norwood. Go ahead, Sarah.
So a couple of things. I'm just very glad nobody got hurt in that play last night. What an awkward, you know, not collision, but at home plate, right? I just think that, you know, there's a lot of risk when base running mistakes are made. I mean, and people can get hurt and injuries affect everybody. But last night, boy, that play at the plate, I thought for sure he was going to be safe. And, man, it was just so awkward watching it. And originally talking about about that component of it. I mean, their catcher, they're on. So Tampa Bay's on their second string catcher already. He could have been hurt. Our player could have been hurt. It was just, it was really hard to watch. And then you think about those other ramifications as well.
Okay, Sarah, so look, it's a game in May, right? It's May 23rd. But at the same time, what stunned me about it is the fact that not only did Vasquez do the wrong thing, he did nothing. He just stood there. It really was an unbelievable play. He's standing there watching the game, like watching the play at the plate instead of trying to help his teammate score. And as much as we are making about the slide, and there could have been an injury there, you're right about that, that's a good point. There absolutely could have been an injury, in which case we'd look at it and say, boy, you just got a teammate hurt. So maybe Vasquez dodged a bullet there. The other thing is, though, and to me the part of it that's not being made enough of, is that Nunez led up. When you watch the play, Nunez is, I don't know, 7-8 feet from the plate, and you can see him relax because he thinks he's just coasting by the catcher and he's going to step on the plate, no problem. Then he gets tagged, he's out, he never gets his foot to the plate to begin with, and turns and looks at Vasquez and says, what just happened there? How did I not know that the ball was coming? You're supposed to tell me that the ball is coming. And Vasquez is a catcher. Like, Vasquez, to me, is supposed to be a guy who has as much acumen as anybody on the field because he's dialed into the game more than anybody, including the starting pitcher. Like, that blows me away. So I'm starting to have my questions about Vasquez, too. But let me just jump to David Price here for a second. Price last night, overall, when you look at his pitching line, you would say, well, David Price had himself a pretty good game last night. I mean, all things considered, he was cruising along there first five innings. I think he had 6 strikeouts in the first 3 innings last night. And then he had, I want to say, 8 that he finished the evening with. He had a shutout into the sixth, did not allow a runner past first base in the first 5 innings of the game, had only given up a couple of hits. And you look at the pitching line at the end of the day and you say, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts, pretty good. 56 of his 90 pitches for strikes. Pretty good. I've seen better, but it's a good night. So why do I feel like at the biggest moment, Price blew it? So you knew you were in for a duel last night. With the way Price was going, and with the way Chris Archer was going, and then the stupidity on the base pads, you look at that whole thing and you say, well, this is going to be a 1-0, 2-1 game. And I was bouncing back and forth between the Red Sox and the Celtics. But even on the ride on the way home, I told you it was apparent that it was going to be a low-scoring, tight game. And so the Red Sox finally score in the top of the sixth. If I'm not mistaken, they had the bases loaded but nobody out. They hit into a double play and got the run home. So they only got one run there. But then beyond that, they come out in the next inning. So Price has finally gotten a run. On a night where both pitchers look like they're dominating, David Price finally gets a run. And you know what he does? He walks the leadoff man. And then with a man on first, the first pitch is a fastball that gets cranked off the top of the center field wall. It took him 7 pitches to lose the lead. It took the Red Sox 6 innings to get one offensively. 6 innings. They finally get a lead. Price gives it up in 7 pitches. There you go. 1-1 into the late innings, and the Rays made a mistake, and you won the game 4-1. Anthony is in a car, wants to talk about Christian Vasquez. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Great job. I love the show.
Thank you. Yeah, what do you got? What's on your mind?
That's the biggest sin ever, especially by a catcher. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted my catcher. I mean, I would cut that guy right now if I was, like, in the league. You cannot do that. It's like the first thing you learn in Little League. And he sees it every day. Well, it kept 5 times a game. He's right there. He sees it.
So, Anthony, listen, he doesn't deserve to be cut for it. I mean, Okay, so Vasquez has obviously assets. He's a plus on the team in some ways. Although I'm starting to question that now, too. But I just don't get how you can be that asleep. He deserves to be criticized for it because that was horrendous.
Yeah. But I don't know if you should criticize Nunez, though, because – I mean, I guess, you run through the base, but, he's just staring there, not doing it. I would probably let up a little bit, too, if he's staring out into space, like, oh, that one's past the guy or what, So it's like that is all on Vasquez, for me at least. And what's this philosophy? Like, when did this start, this base running philosophy? Because, you know, it's been a trend for a while now, two different managers. And I like Cora, too. His ability to handle the guys, I think, is unbelievable. And I just, I don't know where they're going with this. Is it just blindness, blind
Well, so, Anthony, I'm going to let you go. But this is why I think now you look at the players. They've changed managers. Cora has said that it's a point of emphasis. They're trying to get better at it, and yet they keep making the same mistakes. They've changed base coaches. All of it has changed except the result. So the one constant is the players. The players are making the same mistakes on the bases. And if you want to feed me that line about how they've been conditioned to running the bases or conditioned to run the bases a certain way under Farrell over a period of years and it's going to take a while to get out of it, I suppose you could feed me that. But it feels to me like stupidity on the bases is just stupidity on the bases. You're either a good base runner or you're a bad base runner. You either pay attention to it and can make a decision in a snap, on in a fraction of a second to decide whether to advance or not, and you either have that or you don't. And it feels like this team doesn't. So, you know, I don't know that there's anyone to blame but the players right now in their continued stupidity, really. And I don't blame Nunez. I don't. I blame Vasquez. He was asleep standing there. He was asleep. I'm not sure I've ever really seen anything like it. I've seen guys give the wrong signal. I've seen guys sort of hunch down and maybe not use it. I've seen all kinds of stuff. I don't know that I've ever seen a guy just stand there like Vasquez was standing there doing nothing. He was out of position. First of all, he should have been behind the catcher more in the left-handed batter's box. And then towards the left-handed batter's box. And then secondly, he just stood there like he was a spectator. Unbelievable. Now, it didn't cost them a game. But stuff like that is what makes you look at them and say, you're lucky the competition sucks. And that's my theory, Murray, is that you look at it and say, how do they get away with it? Because the opposition stinks. And the opposition isn't good enough to make him pay for it. Because how many guys really can you name in that Tampa Bay lineup? As a fan, how many can you name? The answer, not many. I have some other questions on Christian Vasquez, too. Murray's get your headlines first, and then we'll get to that.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Christian Vasquez has basically caught twice as many games as Sandy Leon, basically. And I'm starting to wonder why. Because if what are you really getting there? He doesn't give you offense. The defense this year has been substandard for him. The defense has not been good. And then last night, he's standing there. It doesn't even look like he's into the game. And then on top of it all of the pitchers in the rotation, and this is according to a story by Alex Spear, I think it was last week, all the pitchers in the rotation have better ERAs with Leon catching, except for Drew Pomeranz, who's better with Vasquez. So why doesn't Leon catch more? In fact, who's catching tonight? Tonight's Porcello on the mound, right?
Yeah, give me one second.
So yeah, I just think Sandy Leon should be catching more. Vasquez is really starting to bug me. And remember that play earlier in the year with the mask when he touched the ball and he was I don't know if he was officially charged with an error, but it was catcher's interference or... You know, when he cost the Red Sox a couple of bases, remember that? You find him already? No?
Yeah, it's Leon.
It is Leon.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that. Vasquez to me, should play less. That act's getting tired. Steve's in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Steve. Steve, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay, what do you got?
This is Steve from West Roxbury. Hey, let me ask you a question. Hey, if they bring Pedroia back, right? They should never play him. They should never bat him first because Betts is a great leadoff hitter. They should put Pedroia seventh.
Okay, so, Steve, I don't know what they're going to do with Pedroia. I am interested in it, too. He's not going to hit leadoff. Betts is going to stay in the leadoff spot.
Got to figure he'll go second, I would think. Right?
So it'll either be second, unless they want to leave Benintendi there and they move Pedroia down to, like he said, seventh, somewhere in that area. I can't imagine Pedroia hitting lower than seventh. I mean, seventh in and of itself is down there. But it'll be interesting to see what Cora does there. Benintendi, you know, he's gotten a little hotter. He's gotten a little better. And if you believe in that right-left thing, and I don't think Cora does. I mean, to me, Cora's going to go with the best hitters. So what you should do, based on that, is probably Pedroia second, Benintendi seventh, but then you're all right-handed to start.
Right.
So, but still, I say, though, it would not surprise me if Cora went all righties at the top. Would not surprise me in the least bit, based on what he has said. Paul's in Providence. Go, Paul.
Hey. So I don't know if I can follow up very well from Steve from West Warwick, but I was just wondering, why don't they just slide all the time when you're going home? Why wait for the signal?
So, Paul, okay, so what if the catcher's in front of the plate like it was last night?
Well, isn't that illegal now?
Okay, all right, so look, yeah, so that's a good question. I wondered about that, too. But, look, sometimes there's just no need to slide. I don't have an issue with that. How about just the communication doesn't break down? If Vasquez just does his job there, no problem. And to me, the frustrating part of the whole play is that Nunez would have scored. It's not just that he didn't slide. Right, I mentioned this earlier. He also let up. Watch it. Watch the replay. He clearly lets up. He thinks he's got it, and he starts sort of half-jogging. So now I know you're going to say, well, why don't you sprint all the way through? Because he didn't think he had to. I mean, if you hit the ball into center field, and the center fielder's coming up to field it on the ground, are you sprinting all the way to first base and running down the right field line just to be safe? Or do you sort of take it easy around the corner and see what happens? To me, he ran to the situation. Nunez ran to what he thought the situation was. The guy who made the mistake there was Vasquez. Brian's in a car. Hi, Brian.
Hey, man. What's going on?
What do you got?
Hey. I just got in the car, and I just heard about Swihart getting designated for rumored to be designated for assignment.
Okay.
And I don't understand. When do they pull the plug like they have been with Jackie Bradley and putting offense over defense? And giving somebody with the offensive potential and giving Swihart a few starts.
So, look, Brian, I'm with you. I want to see more of Swihart in there. I don't understand why he hasn't played more, especially given the offensive problems they've had at the catcher position. And there have been opportunities to play Swihart in left field on top of it. So I don't know why. It feels like he's the odd man out here. I can't imagine it'll be anybody else. I mean, who are they? Unless they decide to carry one fewer pitcher. But I don't see that happening either. So who else is going to go? You're not getting rid of Moreland. I suppose they could trade Brock Holt, but why? Nunez and Brock Holt tend to overlap a little bit, especially when you have Su-Wei Lin in the minor leagues. So maybe they would trade Holt. But all signs point to Swihart being dealt or designated. In either case, it's going to result in the same thing. Someone is going to want a deal for Blake Swihart. Because I think he's got some value. But the fact that they carried him this far and didn't even play him, really, to me, it is. It's frustrating. Sean is in a car on Christian Vasquez.
Hey, Vaz, how you doing?
Good.
So I was sitting there thinking about Vasquez in the play last night. I was watching it, too. It kind of scratched my head. But then it made me think of the series of the Yankees when Joe Kelly was getting charged to the mound, and he barely made an effort to stop the batter.
It's another thing, right? Good point.
Yeah. So now it makes me think, would put Veritek in that situation, would it have seen a play like that last night or Joe Kelly take it across the chin? I seriously doubt it. Same thing, even with David Ross. You know, I think what the difference is just the mental mentality or the winning mentality more so than the dumbness. I mean, sometimes when you have a winning mentality, it kind of cures or kind of covers up any mental mistakes. And I think that's a lot of what it is. So I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe I'm just stating the obvious. And this is my last point, is, you know, this is Cora's first year. I know catcher's sort of been mediocre at best the last couple of seasons. Maybe they're putting Vasquez out there to see, is he going to respond to the new coaching? Is he going to respond to that winning mentality? If not, maybe they have to see where they're at midseason, make a trade, or maybe at the end of the season, you know, whatever his contract is, just let him go. I'll let you go.
So, thanks. Sean, I don't think that's it. They signed him to a three-year contract extension, or three-year contract, I should say, before the season began. He got 3 years and $13.5 million. Now, a lot of that was just to avoid arbitration in the years down the road. But when you do that with a player, typically you're looking at him, you're investing in him. I mean, they could have just gone year to year and see how it went with Vasquez, but they gave him the money. But But you make a good point. I forgot about the whole thing with the Yankees. Tyler Austin stood up, was yelling at the pitcher, and Vasquez just stood there, completely mentally checked out. Last night, Eduardo Nunez comes around third base to score two outs on what is clearly going to be a play at the plate. Vasquez just stood there, did nothing, completely mentally checked out. He tried to advance the ball with his mask in a game, and it cost the Red Sox 90 feet on the bases. And do you remember a couple of years ago? A lot of you may not remember this. There was a game where Steven Wright gave up a home run on a fastball. And John Farrell was asked about it and said, well, he wasn't supposed to throw the fastball there. Vasquez was catching. Shortly thereafter, they demoted him to the minors.
There was a rainy Friday night against the Angels, if I recall correctly. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so that's a good memory, Murray.
No, because I remember it was a bad look, as much as we got on Farrell at the time. Like, there was something there with Vasquez that was like, ooh, you know, like, is he just, you know, is he just ignorant or is he just defiant? Like, it didn't look good for him.
Or maybe he just doesn't pay attention. Because you look at it and you say, all these things feel like a lapse in attention. Farrell tells him, if Steven Wright gets into a 3-1 count, don't throw the fastball. Because he's going to throw it 75 miles an hour or 85 miles an hour, and someone's going to hit it 500 feet. So what do? They throw the fastball, the hitter's sitting on it, and he cracks it. So, like, I look at that, and I say, well, that's just dumb. And then Farrell says after the game, well, he wasn't, you know, and they made a mound visit, too, if I remember
right.
Correct,
yeah.
They made a mound visit and explicitly told him, do not throw a fastball. And he did anyway. So I just wonder about the, you know, maybe there's an attention issue with Vasquez. I don't know what it is, but he's clearly fallen asleep out there. All right,
dumb.
Dave is listening in his car, so we're going to put him on hold. I don't know who the caller is from Framingham, but you want to talk about the base running. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ben from Framingham. Big fan of the show. Hey, this is a fatal flaw for the Red Sox. And I mean, you guys know as well as anybody that in the playoffs, the team that makes the least mistakes, you know, especially the playoffs, their tiny mistakes, is the team that's going to win. These aren't mistakes that they can recover from, and it's terribly frustrating as a fan because this is fixable. You know, sit down with these guys, talk with these guys. I mean, that's incredibly frustrating. But the bigger thing is Corey seems to be like a guy who is going to give it to us straight, and he's feeding this crap on the base running. You know,
Ben, what crap is he feeding on the base running?
He's saying that they're trying to be aggressive.
That's not what Cora said. That's what Farrell used to say. Cora has said consistently that they make too many mistakes on the bases.
Well, then it's his job to fix it, then.
Okay, so again, see, this is where I get off the bus with you, though. Cora's trying, and the base runners are still making the same mistakes. So again, let's just look at this as a, if you're looking at an experiment, you have a control and a variable, right? That's the old science trick. You change one thing at a time to see if the result changes, and then you know what the element that has the most influence is. So let's look at the base running. The base running sucked last year. John Farrell said they wanted to be aggressive, and so he would take the mistakes as it was a byproduct of the aggressiveness. Fine. Farrell's gone. Coaching staff is gone. New manager who's delivering a different message. He's saying they have to clean up the base running. They're too stupid on the bases. Earlier in the year, and I've said this twice, I'll say it again. Earlier in the year, we had Cora on the program. We asked him about the base running, and he said, quote, at the start of the year, scale of 1 to 10, 1. Lately, and this is early in the year now, it has gotten a little bit better, but I would still say we're maybe a 5. We have a long way to go. So Cora has not sugarcoated the base running at all. Cora has said that the base running stinks and needs to improve. So, the manager's changed. The philosophy's changed, at least with regard to the manager. The coaching staff has changed, but the mistakes continue. The only variable we haven't changed is the players. Maybe they're just bad base runners. Maybe they're just stupid base runners. Not every guy runs the bases well. Ben Attendee sucks on the bases. And that one bugs me because he's athletic. He appears to have baseball instincts, and he just appears to brain lock on the bases. I don't get that. At least with Vasquez, I can look at it and say his brain locks seem to come all over the place. Ben Attendee's? And I pick on him on the bases because he really does. He blows. as a base runner. For a kid with that kind of ability, he sucks. I get that one off my chest, Murray. I can't tell you.
I'm surprised you're not red in the face.
I can't tell you how crazy Benintendi's base running makes me. I mean, it's just really...
I think I have a hint.
It's inexcusable. It really is inexcusable. Meanwhile, home runs are going up and up and up in baseball. They have been for 3 or 4 years. Today, Major League Baseball released a statement that says, well, you know what? I'm gonna wait. I'll tell you what it says when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I was sitting here today doing the Felger and Maz show when a press release landed in my inbox from Major League Baseball. And we all know that the home runs in the game have gone up here over the last few years. Last year, I think more home runs than ever hitting the game throughout baseball. Like some absurd number, 6,000-something, whatever it was, but the most in history. And you know, people like me believe that the ball was juiced. And there are lots of different theories. You know, they lowered the seams, the ball's carrying better, blah, 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 blah. So Major League Baseball issued a release today that said this. Major League Baseball has received the results of a study conducted by a committee of scientists on the causes of the increased home run rate in the game since 2015. First of all, did you guys know that there was a study going on about this? I had no idea. Anyone have a clue?
No.
Okay, me neither. Adam Jones says he didn't know and he knows everything. Just ask him. So the release continues. The committee investigated a number of hypotheses, including the properties of the baseball, weather conditions, and changes in player behavior. What does that mean exactly? Changes in player behavior. Anyway, it continues. The research included a detailed analysis of StatCast data, as well as an investigation of the properties of the baseball that can affect home run production, including an inspection of Rawlings' production plant in Costa Rica. Okay? Now comes the part that I find interesting. The committee concluded that the increase in home run hitting since the 2015 season was due, at least in part, to a change in the aerodynamic properties of the baseball, i.e., reduced drag for given launch conditions as opposed to a change in launch conditions themselves. So do you understand? The ball's not dragging as much through the air. So that, according to a panel of scientists, is true.
Yeah, it's a lot of nerd speak for something that could have been summed up in four words and a comma on a press release.
Okay, again, the committee concluded...
The ball's juice, stupid.
...that the increase in home run hitting was due at least in part to a change in the aerodynamic properties of the baseball. A change in the properties of the baseball. But then the release goes on to say that they don't know why. The committee did not find any change in the size, weight, seam height, or core of the baseball that would explain the increase in home runs. Do you believe this, Murray?
That what? The ball's juiced? Yes. So but that they don't know the reason? I don't know. Keep researching, nerds.
So I
don't know.
Well, I don't believe that they don't know the real reason.
Yeah.
I think they jacked the ball.
They've been paid off or haven't figured out. I don't know.
But I find it stunning that they even admit that the ball's carrying further. Like, they admit it. The ball's going farther than it used to. And we don't know why. It's not the players. It's got something to the drag, the aerodynamic drag in the ball is less. So the ball's actually traveling farther. And my answer would be, like Murray, because you injected it with steroids. That's why. Because you injected the ball, you might as well be playing with a freaking Titleist one. Who's kidding who? We all know. Everybody and his mother hits 30 home runs now again. So the way to fit, and by the way, I'm not totally against it. Because if you want more home runs in the game, and you want steroids out, jack the ball. Piece of cake. Easy thing to do. Or just play every game in Colorado. One or the other.
Or jack the ball and give them steroids.
Well, there you go.